And just reminds me of John 1 verse 29 when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And that is our hope, isn't it? And I trust that every one of you here this evening knows that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that shed his blood for you to wash away your sins. And if not, that's the most important thing you could do at this family camp, is trust the Lamb of God who shed his blood to take away your sins. What an awesome thing that is. Great singing. Really enjoyed it. You know, sometimes when it comes to reading our Bible, we're a little bit hit and miss. And Bob was a little bit hit and miss, but he was quite desperate to get a message from the Bible for himself. So he decided to take a little bit of a novel approach. So he took his Bible and he closed it, closed his eyes, opened it, put his finger on the page. The first verse he came to was Matthew 27 verse 5, which said, "And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." Well, that wasn't really too helpful for him, so he closed the Bible again, closed his eyes, opened it again, plonked his finger down and looked. Luke 10:37. "Go and do thou likewise." This was really starting to freak him out. Closed the book again. Open it, finger down. This time he hit John 13:27. "That thou doest, do quickly." Folks, that's not the way to approach reading God's word. Amen. But also, there's the danger there of taking things out of context, isn't there? That if we just take a verse willy-nilly like that, we don't actually get the true meaning of it because we don't know the context. And context is very important. Someone once said, a text, and we're not talking about your phones, all right? We're talking about the Bible. A text without a context is a pretext. And if you take a verse just by itself without knowing what surrounds it is saying, you don't really truly understand what the Word of God is saying. And it's so important. Just by way of review, over the past couple of sessions, we've been looking at the subject of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've seen the word charity, as is recorded there in our Bibles. We saw that the Greek word is the word agape. And help me out here, agape means?
Love.
Then this morning we looked at the actual English word charity. We saw that that comes from the Latin word caritas, and it simply means Christian love. And as we looked at what the New Testament had to say around that word charity, we saw very clearly that it was talking about the love that I as a Christian should have for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so as we approach 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's important for us to understand that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was not written for married couples. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was not written for family relationships. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was not written in relation to our personal relationship with our God and his love for us. But there's much we can learn from there in all of those. But what it was written for, it was written for the local church. It was written that they would understand their relationship with one another and that we should be loving one another even as Jesus Christ loved us. This evening, this is the third part of the introduction. This evening I want to look at the subject of context. Because when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you see and understand the context, it opens it right up to our understanding. Well, what is context? Well, context is very important. Firstly, when you look at a passage or a verse, you need to understand what is the historical setting. You know, think about what's the events of the story, to whom was it being written to, how did they understand it at that time? And one thing I think of many a times, and I've said this to other people, is when you think about the historical context or the setting, think of the five W's. The five W's. There's what? What's happening here? Where did this take place and in what time? Who are the people involved? Why? Why is this happening? What it's relating to? And here's the fifth W, but the W's at the end. How? All right? That'll help you remember. But that's important that we understand when we're looking at it and we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're not talking about 21st century New Zealand. We're talking about 1st century Greece And we're talking about the city of Corinth, and we're talking about the local church in Corinth. So it's important for us to not look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and think about how's things going in my marriage, but we need to think about what was going on in the church that the Holy Spirit used Paul to write this chapter, which we're looking at here now in the 21st century. Another important part of context is not only looking at the historical setting, but it's thinking about, and this is just a word to throw away, but the synthesis. And synthesis just means very simply that we take this passage and we compare it with other parts of Scripture. So the first thing you do when you look at a verse in the Bible, look at the verses around it, because that gives the context to it. What's it talking about? And as we spread that a little bit further, as you look at a verse, then look at the whole chapter. What's the whole chapter about? Because there's not a verse that's just in the Bible isolated by itself. It relates to the verses around it. It relates to the chapter around it. But even more than that, look at the book itself. And as we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's very important that we look at the chapters around it. What are they talking about? Why is this chapter 13 here? But even going further than that, let's look at the whole epistle of the 1 Corinthians and say, well, what's going on in here? What's Paul talking about? That we come to chapter 13 and we have all these verses about charity, all these verses that are talking to us about how I as a Christian should be loving my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think as we look at that tonight, it's going to be very helpful to you, and it'll get us ready for tomorrow morning when we actually start looking verse by verse through this and have a look at what charity or Christian love for my brothers and sisters is all about. So I'd like to either go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're not going to read the whole lot right now anyway, but just notice a couple of verses just as we get into it. 1 Corinthians, actually chapter 12, let's look at verse 31 again as we did this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, notice verse 31. Paul finishes chapter 12 and says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Then we come to chapter 13. Look at the last verse of chapter 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And then chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. And those verses make it very clear that chapter 13 is not just sitting there in isolation, but it's totally related to chapter 12 and 14, doesn't it? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is pure and that you have preserved your words down through the generations so that this evening we have your preserved and inspired word of God. We pray you teach us from it this evening. Lord, give us open ears, but Lord, especially open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Context. What's the context of chapter 13? Firstly, I want to talk with you the immediate context, and then I want us to look at the wider context. The immediate context, just from the verses we wrote, it's very obviously chapter 12, which comes before 13, for you mathematicians, and chapter 14, which follows it. It's sandwiched, 1 Corinthians 13, between these two chapters. And if you were to read 1 Corinthians 13 and think, this is the great love chapter, which is for marriages, this is the great love chapter, which is for parent-child relationships, that wouldn't make sense when you read what 1 Corinthians 12 is about and 1 Corinthians 14 is about. But when you understand what 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 are about, it totally makes sense that chapter 13 is about charity. It's about the love that I as a Christian have for my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. In chapter 12, we have the gifts that Christ gave to his church. In chapter 14, Paul instructs them on how to use those gifts within the church. And there, right in the middle, in chapter 13, he tells us the spirit in which we are to exercise those gifts. Charity. Christian love from me as a Christian to my brothers and sisters in Christ. We particularly see it highlighted because when you look at verse 2 of chapter 13, he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. That doesn't really relate to marriages, does it? But it does relate to chapter 12. in chapter 14. Drop down to verse 8. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, well, maybe that relates to marriages. No, we'll move on. They shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. It's talking about gifts. That's not related to marriage. It's not related to family relationships. It's related to chapter 12 and chapter 14. Where in chapter 12, Paul talks about the gifts that have been given to the church, and in chapter 14 tells them how they're to use it. Harry Ironside, who was a prolific writer and preacher, he said this, 1 Corinthians 13 is the furnace in the blacksmith's shop where the tools of chapter 12 are heated red hot to be used in chapter 14. I'll run that past you again. Thinking about that, chapter 12 is where we're told about the gifts that God has given to the church. Chapter 14 is about how to use them. He said, 1 Corinthians 13 is the furnace in the blacksmith's shop where the tools of chapter 12 are heated red hot to be used in chapter 14. Another writer said this. He said, chapter 12 is the endowment of the gifts. Chapter 14 is the exercise of the gifts. But chapter 13 is the energy of the gifts. And when we consider chapters 12 and 14 are nothing without chapter 13. The gifts that God has given to the church, and as you continue in chapter 12 and you see how we're all part of the body and we all have parts to play and purposes in the local church, he's saying those are nothing unless you understand chapter 13 and you have charity and you understand the love that you should have for your brothers and sisters in Christ. The necessary ingredient of charity or love in the exercise of any of the gifts that God has given to us is necessary and is the only way that we're able to properly function as our part in the body of Christ. So that's the immediate context. The immediate context as chapter 13 comes before us is very clearly chapter 12 and chapter 14. But we need to go a little bit wider as well. As we go a little bit wider, let's have a look at from starting at chapter 1 right through, Paul is addressing issues and problems in the church at Corinth. Chapter 13 brings the solution. Charity. Christian love towards your fellow Christian. And as we go through and look through the 1 Corinthians, have a look at the problems that Paul addresses, and you see and understand that, you'll find how 1 Corinthians 13 perfectly fits what the whole book is all about. Let's have a look at them just briefly. We go back to chapter 1 and 2. We find in chapter 1 and 2, as Paul writes to the Corinthians had a lot of pride in themselves. They took a lot of pride in the fact that they were highly educated. They took great pride in the fact that they were great orators. We find as you come into chapter 4, and particularly verses 7 and 8, you find that they took great pride in their gifts, the gifts that God had given to them. We find for them in the church of Corinth that not only were there sins of the flesh, but there were also sins of the spirit. And some people would point out, yeah, that guy's doing something that I can see with my eyes that's wrong, but I'm doing something in my heart and nobody can see it and I'm okay. Doesn't that strike a chord? And sometimes within the church we're very quick and easy to judge someone who does something that can be openly seen by others, but we're very quick to cover what's going on in our own heart, aren't we? And that was one of the issues that he addressed there to them. Another big thing was that there was division in the church. We find that in chapter 1 and chapter 3. We find that he firstly says that, you know, there's amongst you there's four groups. So some of you say, I follow Paul. And others say, I follow Cephas or Peter, Simon Peter. And others said, I follow Apollos. And then the real holy one said, oh, I don't follow man, I follow Jesus. But they were just as divisive as the others. And this division in the church, really what it showed their immaturity. Not only did it show their immaturity, but it showed their childishness in the ways that they treated each other. It showed how much they needed to actually grow up. And when you start thinking about that, some of those passages in 1 Corinthians 13 very quickly come into mind. In chapter 5, he deals with the issue of sexual immorality. And he says there's things going on in the church that you wouldn't even see out in the world. And he said, worse than that, you aren't dealing with it. You're allowing it to carry on, and more than that, because you've done that, you're actually starting to glory in it. And in verse 11 of chapter 5, he says, I'm just touching on this one particular case, but he says there's other sin going on in the church as well. Then you come to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, he talks about the selfishness of the people in the church at Corinth. And that selfishness is shown by the lawsuits that they took out. Instead of one person in the church talking to the other person in the church who they had a problem with and sorting it out, as per the book of Matthew, they were going to court. They were taking each other to court to try and sort out issues. And this happened over and over again, and it just showed that really there was no charity at work in this situation. One of the other things that stands out in 1 Corinthians is that the people in the church were using the grace of God, or as we sometimes call it, their liberty in Christ, to excuse their worldly living. You find that in chapter 6, verse 12, chapter 8, verse 9, chapter 10, verse 23. We find that they were using God's grace and God's forgiveness as an excuse to just continue to live as they wanted to live. Chapter 8, Paul deals with the issue of offending others within the church. They were offending others by flaunting their knowledge. They're saying, I know these things and I understand these things. And rather than being gracious about it and being charitable about it to their brothers and sisters in Christ, they actually offended them and they didn't show charity at all. In chapter 11, we find them showing impatience with one another in the public services. Also in chapter 11, there were cliques in the church. And that wasn't because they were pushing on their pens. There were cliques in the church. We find that they would sit and they would eat with their own crowd. This is us and my crowd. We're over here and this is where we always sit and this is where we eat. Another crowd would sit over there. There was cliques. They were divided. They were separated. They had their own people. A sad thing you see in chapter 11, that when it was time to eat, the rich people would bring heaps of food for themselves, and they'd keep it for themselves and eat it for themselves. And the poor, they went hungry. It reminds me of an illustration that I read recently. The church was having a picnic. And as part of the picnic, they played some games. And I don't know if you've ever played this game with raw eggs. You know, where you stand opposite each other and you throw the raw egg to each other, and every time you catch it, you step back and you get further and further apart and keep throwing the egg. And of course, eventually it gets quite funny because the thriller is suddenly someone's going to catch it and it just breaks and sprays all over the place. And, you know, they were having fun. They were laughing at what was happening. And there were two young children from the poor part of town watching this. And the little girl went up to the lady that was running the competition. And she said, if there's any eggs left over after this game, could we take them home? Just broke the lady's heart. She stopped the game right there and then. And she took all the eggs that were left and gave it to these two children so they could take them home. You know, sometimes we do things and don't realise the impact it has on other people. Why is that? Because there's no charity. All we're doing is thinking about ourselves. And that's what chapter 11 shows, that these people were just thinking about themselves. In the latter part of chapter 11, we find the abuse of the Lord's Supper. When they were supposed to be coming together and remembering what Jesus Christ had done for them on the cross, it says some of them were coming and they were drunk. Some of them were coming and saying, me first. You read it there in chapter 11. Get out of the way. I want to go first. It says that many of them were eating and drinking unworthily. In chapter 12, we find that the church in Corinth, that they were envying each other's gifts. And you have there in that passage where, you know, someone says, I'm a hand, but I want to be the eye. I'm a foot, but I want to be the head. And Paul addresses that there in chapter 12. Here were these people within the church saying, you know, I've got raw deals with the gifts I've got. I want to have the gifts that person's got. This is the part God's asked me to play within the body of Christ, but I don't want to do that. I want to be that one up there. And that's sad. When you come to chapter 14, we find that Paul addresses the abuse of the gifts. The gifts that God had given to them and how they were abusing them. That they weren't using them to build up and edify others. They were using their gifts to puff up themselves and make themselves look good. And in the context of all of those things that were going on in the local church, the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And with that in mind, let's read it together. I'll read verse 1, you join verse 2, and we'll alternate down through the passage. Thinking about those things that were going on in the church at Corinth, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And let's read verse 13 together as well. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I think just by reading that you can get a little bit of a taste how well chapter 13 applies to the whole of the book of 1 Corinthians. The context is so important and helps us to see that this is not addressed as a passage to married couples. It's a passage that's addressed to you and I, part of the body of Christ, Christians that should be showing charity, love to our fellow Christians. And as we start tomorrow morning and begin at verse 1 and work our way through, you're going to see the power of what this passage is actually about. Christian love that we should be showing to our brothers and sisters in Christ. At the same time, I'd say to you that the principles that we're going to find displayed here in this passage, yes, do apply to the love that we should have for God. Yes, the principles we find here, we can apply to the love that we have as husbands and wives. And certainly, it can be applied to the love that we as parents should have for children and our children should have for their parents. We can apply it to the love between a believer and an unbeliever. When we're told by Jesus to love our neighbour as ourselves and to love our enemies. But let's understand primarily 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is written to you and I as Christians. And what it's wanting to demonstrate and display to us is the sort of love that we should have within the body of Christ towards each other. As I read 1 Corinthians and see the problems that Paul is addressing, they're not first century problems. They're problems for every century. They're problems for the 21st century. And if we're honest, they're problems we see in our own lives and we see in our own churches. And the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write 1 Corinthians 13 because there's the solution. What's the solution? It's the Christian love that we should have for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're going to look at that over the next three sessions in detail as we go through 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's pray together.